Amen. Good morning to you again. Sister Molly is engaged to be married, and she will be leaving us, which saddens our hearts, I know. She is such a blessing to so many. She has really been a faithful servant of the Lord. But we got to trust and know that God knows more than we do, amen? So wherever he's going to replant her, she is going to be a blessing to them. So, we may be losing a wonderful saint, but somebody else is going to gain the wonderful saint. And we know that God is going to use her there. So y'all keep her in your prayers and be praying for her. And right behind me up here to my right, I saw a big trophy sitting up here. And Brother Bert said the girls' softball team went to the championships. First time in 25 years, right? They did not win. They got second place. But that's not bad at all, right? It's a great accomplishment just to get there. So, you know, whatever the Lord sees fit. And then I have something I wanted to share with you. The pastor's not here this morning because he's got a granddaughter that's graduating. And so he decided that he might ought to spend a little time with her, and probably wise, amen? Well, I had a son to graduate yesterday with honors, and he received a President's Award for his Christian character. Of course, they didn't talk to me about that, you know, so. And, Daddy always knows a little more, right? But no, he's doing really well. I'm proud of him. He got his AA degree. He needs about 26 more credits, and he'll have his BA in theology and his teacher's degree. And he's wanting to teach. And then when I told him what all just got passed through the house up there, he said, "What?" I'm like, "Don't worry about it. God's in control. You just keep serving and keep doing what God will have you to do, and he'll take care of the rest of it." Amen. So I just wanted to share that with you. Sometimes it's nice to, we don't get a chance very often to brag on our children, right? You know, most of the time it's stuff we don't want to tell. So it was a blessing to have something good to say, amen? So, but anyhow, that's my youngest son, Jonathan. So y'all keep him in your prayers. Matter of fact, he's attending the same college that Dr. Carter went to. So I'm hoping some of that rubs off on him, amen? We'll see how that works out. Well, open your Bibles to James. We're going to go back to chapter 2. We kind of got through, I don't know, around verse 19, but we kind of hurried through that. And because I didn't realize that I was going to have an opportunity to be back here today to finish up correctly. So I kind of wanted to look at that. I feel like it's really important. James is teaching and trying to teach us doctrinal purity. And so let's just look at something for a moment. If we was to take some doctrinal purity out of the church, what happens to the church when we don't think correctly and when we don't follow the doctrines of Christ? Just little things. Let's just say, for example, that we take all the pews out. Because this is what happens when we stop following Christ and we start following what we want and our desires as men. We're all sinners, amen? We're all under the same sin curse. And that sin curse, when we allow that to present itself above the things of Christ. So let's just take out all the pews and put chairs in. Most people will tell you, well, what difference does it make? It makes a lot of difference. Why is there a pew versus the chair? Is a chair really more comfortable? No. You can lay down on the pew and take a nap if you got room. Amen. But, I mean, so what is the purpose? Have you ever asked yourself, have you ever thought about that? The pews were put in because we go to church what? How do we go to church? As a family. Our family serves the Lord. What did Joshua say? As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. So the pew is designed for the family. A church is a chair is designed for what? An individual. So they're separating you. Breaking up the family. What does the devil want to do? He wants to destroy the family. He wants to separate and destroy, divide and conquer. Everywhere in our history, we can look and see how the devil has divided the family. What's he doing today with the country? He's dividing it. And a country that's divided among itself can't stand. And that's exactly where we're headed. What happens when we, let's just do away with the songbooks. Put a screen up here and we'll just put, whatever we're going to sing today, we'll just put it up here on the screen. Well, what does it matter? So what is the songbook? If you have your songbook, it's your personal songbook. You are singing between you and your God. It's you and God. When we do away with that, we're no longer personalizing it between us and God. Now it's unity. See, they want to separate us in one place and bring us all together in another. And how about our music? You know, as we slowly continue to drift to the left, because that's what happened. You change one thing in God's word, and you're drifting left. And you're going to continue to drift faster and faster and faster as time progresses. That's why it's so important. How about the music? How about we just start bringing in some rock and roll, bring in some drums, and kick up the beat a little bit? It's a little faster. Not while you're here. Amen. Me neither. If it comes in, I got to go. That's just the way it is. It's, you know, when you start doing that, that's man's desire, is to feed the flesh. We're not supposed to be here to feed the flesh itself. We're supposed to be here to feed our souls. We're supposed to be here to worship our God. And by the way, praise and worship. You don't praise and worship at the same time. There's a difference. Now, when we come to Sunday school, we come here to learn from God, something that God is going to give us that we can carry home, meditate upon, and apply it to our lives, and use it throughout the week until Wednesday night. Why do we have church on Wednesday nights? To refuel. Folks, I don't know about you, and just like good old hard preaching, when they get to ripping on you, and man, they're stepping all over your toes, a lot of people get mad. They get totally upset. Well, if you get upset about the preaching, you have a problem. That's the truth. It's not the preaching. It's not God's word. He's not wrong. So why do you get upset? Because you're getting poked at. I enjoy that. Why? Because it reminds me where I was, and it reminds me where I could be compared to where I'm at. Now, I can still be poked because I'm just like you. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm not perfect. There's a lot of things that I do that's wrong. You know, I try not to, but just like you, I haven't got good enough. I can't put my Jesus shoes on and walk across the lake yet. When I get to that point, I'll be all right. And when I get to heaven, I'll be able to do that. Amen. I think I said last week, if we had enough faith in our God, we could take these glasses and throw them away. We wouldn't need them. But folks, that's why it's so important that what James is trying to teach us, that we grab a hold to it and learn from it and understand the doctrinal purity is so, so important. Churches every day are falling by the wayside. They're not teaching the gospel. Most churches you go to, the gospel's never preached. Well, we're still teaching and preaching the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. It's all about Jesus and what he did on Calvary and the price that he paid for our sin. And when we were here, even for Sunday school, everything that we do is to glorify our God. And if it hurts us, then we need to fix something with us. Because if there's something that's offending me, then I'm doing something wrong. You know, if talking about chairs, if that offends you, you're the one with the issue, not me. God puts us here in his house to serve him. Go back over in Genesis and Leviticus. Go back in the Old Testament and read about how the temple was put together. When God instructed Moses, every facet of that temple has a purpose. Every single part, right down to the dirt floor, the veils, everything in it had a purpose. And somebody asked me one time, why do they have dirt floors? Have you ever thought about that? Why did they have dirt floors? All the gold and all the beauty and everything that was there, why did it have dirt floors? You know why it had dirt floors? Does anybody know? I'm going to tell you why. What happens when a priest walks around on the dirt floor? He gets dirty, don't he? You think maybe that's to remind us of our sin? As long as we're in these sin-cursed bodies, we're dirty. We're filthy. And we need to be cleansed. Isn't God good? Everything he does, there's a purpose. So when you start removing those things and we start filling those things in with what we want, we lose the purity of the church. And folks, when we lose that, we had a young lady up here testifying Wednesday night. She said that her church didn't soul win. I was kind of shocked by that. But they didn't go soul winning. Folks, what are we here for? We're here to learn and to train and to lead others to Christ. Everything, if you're here this morning, your purpose here this morning should be to learn, to gain knowledge that you can apply to your life to help you and your family better serve God. And then outside of your family, you should be wanting to share that gospel, the knowledge that you collect here, to share it with somebody who's lost and on the way to hell. And when we lose the purity of the church and the doctrine's all messed up, we don't soul win. There's nobody out knocking doors. They're not telling anybody else about Jesus. They go to church on Sunday. We had another young lady that gave testimony. If you weren't here for the testimonies, you missed a wonderful service. I love hearing those testimonies. They're just awesome. But a young lady gave testimony that she was witness. I believe she said she was witness to another young lady. Or she might have been an older lady, but it was a lady anyways. And she was telling him about Christ and how she needed to be saved. And the lady had told her that she'd been in church all of her life, grew up in church. But she'd never heard that. She never knew that she had to be born again. That's what happens when we get out of the traditions of the Bible. Instead of going with what God says, we start adding little things that we want. Like, let me just give you a few little examples. Say a tattoo. You got a tattoo, I'm sorry, I'll pray for you, all right? Let's just say a tattoo. Well, what does it hurt? Does it hurt anything? It's a step to the left. Does that bother you? Bothers me. But it's a step to the left. It's a step in the wrong direction. It's disobedience to God, who tells us not to tattoo our bodies. Is it going to send you to hell? No. But it might send somebody else to hell. I mean, let's just say lots of times you could be out witnessing, you got tattoos all over you. A lot of people will see that and they don't want to hear anything that you've got to say. Now, I'm not saying you still can't be a witness to Christ because you have tattoos. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is because you have that, it hurts the cause of Christ. And that's what we're about. Everything in our lives should be applying to what we can do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, we have nothing. And folks, I mean, if you turn the news on, turn your television on, turn the radio on, pick up Facebook, anywhere you go, what are you hearing about today? The rapture. Are you not? Are they not talking about the rapture all over the world? Lost people, they know something's about to happen. Folks, if you can't see the number system coming together, everything that's happening in our communities today, everything's going on with the government, everything's pointing to what? The Antichrist. Everything's happening. Folks, time is about to expire. We're fixing to go into the tribulation period. Now, I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow. I don't know if it's going to be 6 months or 60 years. I don't know. But I do know I can see everything progressing towards that time. And if you're a Christian and know anything at all about the Bible, then you know what's going to happen next is the rapture. And folks, when we're out of here, then things are going to change. And this is what we have in our minds sometimes. Sometimes we think that the Christians are going to be raptured out, and then boom, a number system comes in, the Antichrist jumps in. It doesn't happen that way. You understand everything is going to progressively move towards the Antichrist. And it's already doing that. It's moving towards the Antichrist right now. Everything is moving that direction. So if the rapture takes place, everything is already set. Right now, they're fixing to change currency. They're trying to do away with your dollar, take away your sovereignty. And folks, you might not understand that, but without the mighty dollar, you don't have your sovereignty. It's gone. The government can control everything you purchase. They cannot allow you to purchase something if they don't want you to. Everything is moving that direction. We call it communism. But it's also it's also going to fall into the tribulation period where there's going to be a time that you're going to have to accept the mark to buy and sell. But that's where everything right now is leading to. It's leading to that time period. And why do I say that? Because of the importance of it. You know, as we get older, we know that we ought to be living for Christ. Our time could expire tomorrow. But you know, there's no age limit on death. You can die at 2. You can die at 2 months, 2 days. You can die today. Or how about the rapture? If it takes place, you're still here. Folks, we don't know. There's no promise of tomorrow. We don't know what's going to take place. So it's important that we live our life. We should live every day, every week, every month, and every year for Christ. That's where we ought to be living. And how do we do that if we don't know how to do that? So when we're studying in James, what we need to remember, and the reason I keep going over this fact, is that it's important that we know and understand that without the doctrinal purity of Christ, we don't have anything. We're just like the rest of the world. The lady that's been in church all of her life and never knew she had to be saved, what'd she go to church for? Make her feel good? She gonna work her way to heaven? That puts us back to where we're, verse 17. Puts us back to where we were last week. Look at verse 17. Chapter 2. Even so, if it had not works, it is dead being alone. Talking about even so faith. Faith is dead without works. I did not ever say, the last 2 weeks or today, I have never said that you're saved by works. I have never said that. So we just cleared the air right there. James in his teaching has never said that. Nowhere does James ever say here that you're saved by works. Our problem is that we don't move our finger and keep reading. James is trying to put you in a mindset. He's trying to show you something. And what he's trying to show you is, and this is important among us so-called Christians today, because there's going to be a lot of so-called Christians that's going to be left if the rapture took place. And that's going to hurt. Well, I thought. Well, that's the problem. Sometimes we think too much. We need to listen with a heart sometimes. See, you can fool me. You can fool your partners. You can fool your neighbors. But you can't fool God. See, God sees the heart. And he sees the intent of the heart. God knows your heart. The only faith that matters on this planet is true faith. There is only one God, one true God. And anything else that we believe outside of that is false. So think about that in your society today. Look at all the churches right here in Hang City, all the different things and all the different ways that they conduct services, all the different teachings that they have. There's only one book. There's only one true teaching. Everybody thinks they've got it, right? Now, those listening on the radio say, well, yeah, he thinks he's got the true book. You're right. I do think that. I believe that with all my heart. I'm betting my soul on it. But what they don't understand is they are too. They're betting their soul on their fake religion because they're not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're trusting in what people learn here. They learn from this work salvation. Because they don't listen to the words, they don't read them, they don't search them out, they don't pay attention to what James is saying. So they're learning, they think they're learning work salvation. That's not what James is teaching by any means. There's nowhere in here does it teach him works. What he is teaching is that if you're saved, there will be works. When Jesus moves in here and takes up residence inside of you, there's a light that comes on. The body changes, all things become new. How can you be a new creature and live the same old life like nothing ever changed? There's too many people today looking for fire insurance. I don't want to go to hell, so I'll walk down that aisle and I'll accept Jesus. But it's a show. See, the Bible says what? He believeth with thine heart. So if it's not real, if it's not in here, then it's not real. It's not a saving faith. It's not a real, true faith. It's fake, it's artificial, it's false hope. There's only one true saving grace, that's Jesus. And if your faith and your belief is not in the Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus alone, you're not saved. That's what the scripture teaches us. Now, you said, well, James is saying that work. No, that's not what James is saying. James is saying because you have that true faith, you will produce works. How can you be saved and have Jesus inside and have no love for the brethren? Folks, I got my doubts for you. If you don't love the brethren, then how can Jesus be inside? I'll tell you straight up, I used to hate people. I did not like people. My wife would tell you, I didn't have a friend in the world. Didn't want one. Didn't want anybody. Didn't want to talk to you. I just did not like people. You knocked on my door, I'd have probably run you off. I did not like people. Why? Because they're lying thugs. They'll steal from you. They'll lie to you. They'll try to steal your wife. They'll lie to your children. They'll try to steal them. They'll try to rape your daughters. I'm telling you, they're thugs. That's the human race. And I didn't like them. But see, God changed my heart. Now, I had gotten saved when I was younger, but I still didn't like people. But when God really got a hold of my heart and started squeezing my heart, I had a change. The new man come out then. It showed up. And now I love people. My wife don't understand. I'll go anywhere and talk to anybody at any time. Don't matter where we're at. Sometimes I think she gets embarrassed. I don't know a stranger. You know, we're all God's children. Some of us are going to hell because we don't know Christ. And the others are going to heaven because we do know Christ. But it's our job to get that gospel out. It's up to us to make sure that our fellow man knows Jesus. And it's so sad. I mean, we have relatives that are going to hell because we don't teach Christ. I want to read a couple of verses to you before time gets gone. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." A gift. We don't work for it. It's a free gift. And then in Ephesians 2:9, it says, what? "Not of works, lest any man should boast." So it's not of works, it's of faith. So if with that being said, we say, well, the Bible says that if you believe, you're saved. But you know the problem is when we read that, we don't read all of it. Pastor Stephen used to always say, move your finger and keep reading. I'm going to skip through some stuff here. I'm going to go to Romans. I'm just going to read it to you for the sake of time. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Now let's move our finger. In verse 10 it says, "For what with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." In other words, I'm going to hear the word. I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to believe it with my heart. And then I'm going to confess it with my mouth. And then we just say, this is the verse that most people leave out. They need to read this next verse, number 11. And if you're here today and you're a Christian, you need to know what this verse says. It says, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not," what? "Be ashamed." Folks, if you're ashamed of Christ, then you're probably not saved. Why should you be ashamed of the one that's saving your soul? The one that died and bled on the cross of Calvary to save you from a devil's hell. We ought not be ashamed of Jesus. Look at verse 19. "Thou believest there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Folks, I know we touched bases on this last week. The devils believe in God. But they're not going to heaven. Now, I know a lot of people who say, well, I believe in God. Well, you're probably not going to heaven. Just because you say you believe in God doesn't mean you're going to heaven. See, there is only one faith, one true faith. That's Jesus. Think about something. The Muslims believe in God. They believe in one God. They're not going to heaven. They think they are, but they're not. All the other religions in the world, there's a lot of religions that believe in one God. Sadly, how about the Jehovah's Witness? Now, you know, they have works too. And they believe in one God. And they have works. They still ain't going to heaven. Well, how do you know? Because of what they believe. Let me tell you something. If you're here today and you believe that there's anything you can do to lose your salvation, you've never had it. Because you can't earn it. You can't. In order to lose it, you'd have to work for it. And there's nothing you can do. You cannot be good enough to earn your salvation. Works are good because we're saved. We're supposed to work for God. But that's not going to get us to heaven. What gets us to heaven is our faith, our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and His work. His finished work on the cross of Calvary. Him dying, bleeding His blood to save you and I. That's the one true God. So if we're believing anything outside of that, you're not going to heaven. Now, I hate to be just that blunt. And stop and think about something. I know sometimes we get tired of hearing that. But it's not just us here in this room. We're also on the radio. You don't ever know who's tuned in listening. We're also on the internet. It's being poked at all around the world. There's people all over the world that hear this message. And they need to understand. And I know sometimes we get, well, preacher, we hear the same thing over and over and over. Yes, you do. And until the Lord comes, we're going to keep hearing it over and over and over and over. Amen? People need to know and understand that there's only one way to heaven. And that's through Jesus. And not the God that we make up in our minds. We talked about that last week with A.W. Tozer. You know, it's not us, what we do. It's what God has done. And our belief and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't lose something I never worked for. I just read a verse to you that's a free gift in Ephesians. Jesus gave it to you. He died on the cross so that all you have to do is believe. And then people say, well, what about the Old Testament saints? I hear that so often. Well, how about the Old Testament? Jesus wasn't around. You're right. He wasn't. Not like he was for us on the cross of Calvary. But listen to what he says. Look at let's just go to verse 20 and we'll go on down. But without no old vain man, that faith without works is dead. Look at verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works his faith is made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham, what? Believed God. Do you understand? We go all the way back to Genesis. All the way back to the Garden of Eden. Everybody gets saved the same way. We what? We believe. Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. It's the same way with us today. We believe God. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in the one true faith. Even Rahab. Remember Rahab? You remember the story about Rahab? Remember when the Israelites was going into the promised land? It was like locusts, man. They destroyed everything they come across. Well, Rahab had what? She had heard about it. She had heard about how God's people was coming. And she says in the scriptures that basically what she said was Israel's God is God. She believed that God is God. She believed that he was the true God, the God of Israel. And because of that, her works, she did works. Why? Because she believed. So she saved the two spies. Isn't that an action that she did? It's works. It's not work salvation. But because she believed God, she acted on that faith. And she saved those two spies, didn't she? And the Bible says that she was saved, wasn't she? See, it's all about faith and action. Faith in our works. Because what? Because our faith produced our works. Not that works and faith save us. It's not the combination of the two that save us. We're saved by faith. But the Bible also tells us that if we're saved with no works, if we go back to chapter 1, it's talking about how a man sees himself as looking in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway for you forgetteth the manner of man which he was. Let me back up one. Verse 23 in chapter 1. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. When you go home and you look in the mirror, what do you see? You see your old man, don't you? You don't see the new man. We haven't put on the new body yet. The spirit lives inside of us, but you're looking at the old man. The sin-cursed body that we live in. Folks, we need to adhere to that and remember these things. These things are so important that we hang on to them. Hang on to them with everything you've got. Folks, without that, we'll lose the church. Slowly, 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 it moves more to the left, to the left, to the left, to the left. Next thing you know, there's no gospel being taught. What a sad day. Look at all the people that's going to go to hell because the gospel's not being preached. Because we don't want to get our feelings hurt. God didn't ask our permission when any of this was penned. He penned what we needed to know. And if we'll just take what he gave us and believe it and apply it and live it the way he asked us to do that, we will live good, productive lives for Christ. And stop letting this sin-cursed body get in the way of the truth. I know sometimes we don't like to hear. I mean, especially music. You say something about music. You say something, well, I don't like that kind of music. People look at you like something's wrong with you. Well, if it doesn't glorify God in the proper manner, then it's not godly music. Don't take a bunch of rock music and claim it to be Christian rock, because there's no such thing as Christian rock. It's rock or it's Christian. It can't be both. Don't take the devil's music and try to blend it in with God's music, because light and darkness can't share and occupy the same place. You understand what I'm saying? If this room was totally dark and you turned the light on, where's the dark go? It flees, doesn't it? It's gone. So don't try to take my Jesus and my God and bring in the sin-cursed world into his house and claim it to be Jesus's, because it's not. And that's why we're so picky down here. But you folks down here at Landmark, well, praise God. You know, we're not perfect. We're sinners saved by grace, just like anybody else that's going to heaven. But we do our best to try to hold to the truths that God has given us. Are we perfect? No. Do we get it wrong sometimes? Yeah, we do. We're human. You know, people talk about, well, I don't go to church down here because of the hypocrites. You ever thought about something? If it weren't for the people, the church would be perfect, wouldn't it? Folks, we're the issue, right? So let's not blame any of it on God. Let's put it right here where it belongs. And let's get our doctrine. Let's keep it straight like James is trying to keep it here today. What's our count, my brother? I'm out of time. Brother Bert's going to whoop me here if I don't get done. 772. That's not too bad. Amen. All right, we're going to take a few minute break, and we'll come back for the preaching services.